Cody couldn't be with us tonight, so he asked me to fill in for him. I'll try my best. I've been board chair, so I'll try to not talk too much and listen as much as I can. So we'll start tonight with the financial report from Brian. Brian, if you want to take that over.
Yeah, Bill, thanks. I won't take too much time tonight. Similar to last month, we don't have a whole lot of data here. Our reports that I uploaded to the drive are as of the end of August, and so that's about 16-17% of the fiscal year. Before jumping into the budget summary, I just want to mention that the audit continues to be ongoing. Not a whole lot to report as of this point. We should be in the wrapping up, at least at the field work, here in the next week or two. And as I mentioned last month, hopefully we'll get a report at some point in the month of October. Okay. I'm going to share my screen really quick. And so currently sharing, you should be able to see the PTIF statement. Very similar to last month. As far as the reinvestment goes, a little bit less than what we saw in July. Not a whole lot of difference in the rates, as well as the, at least what I'm reading, the forecast of the rates. So at some point, though, they definitely do and will go back up. We'll hopefully see some increases in our investment at that point. Okay. As far as the budget summary, like I said, not a whole lot of change compared to last month. We're still looking at about a 10% forecasted operating margin. Our cash position is holding steady. Overall, on the expense side, as expected, we have a couple of line items, particularly the 400s and 600s, that are a little bit high just due to regular activities during the summer and leading up to the school year, which began last month. As of September 1st, our enrollment was reported to be 539. I know Alohio will discuss that further detail in his report, and so we'll leave it there. But overall, like I said, not a whole lot of change to our metrics, and we discussed in the finance meeting that although there are a couple of line items that we're going to keep an eye on as far as our forecast goes, this is another year just like the last year of a lot of uncertainty, and that ultimately means uncertainty on the financial level as well, and so we will adapt, and I have no doubt that Esperanza will come through strong, we'll keep an extra close eye on things, and obviously, as things come up, I'll get with Alohio and the finance committee and keep everybody apprised of anything big coming up, whether it's on the revenue, extraordinary revenue, or extraordinary expense. Side, but as of this point, we don't see anything other than what we've already budgeted for. Questions? Anything the finance committee wants to add? Feel free to do so.
Okay. One thing we talked about, Brian, was that we need to formalize our audit committee in our October meeting.
Yes, thank you.
So, if we could get that maybe already on our agenda for next month.
Yeah, I sent Adi an email already while we were doing the finance committee, asking her for the next board meeting. We need an action item to create an audit committee, so she should put it on there for next time.
Thank you. Yep, thank you, Phil. Another item that we discussed, I know this was discussed at length last month as far as the transition to URS. I'm going to do some digging. I'm relatively unfamiliar as far as the actual month-to-month processing of what that benefit will mean as far as the employees and payroll goes. So I'm going to look into that, and we'll be ready once the transition happens.
And there will be a meeting, a transition meeting, with Brian and anyone else at Red Apple that he invites, myself, and then someone from URS, to talk about the details as we get closer to the transition.
Okay.
That transition could be as soon as October, but we want to see maybe about in January.
Yeah, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lovio, that's what they said, but that's going to come up on really, really quick. And depending on when we have that transition meeting with them, we'll just, I guess, play that by ear.
Yeah, and the other thing that they said is that, that even though we can start on the 1st, we have 60 days to forward any funding, any fees, or whatever the case may be. So it's not something that, you know, we would be in trouble if we didn't immediately process payment and those kinds of things. So we would have up to 60 days to send any of those withholdings.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
That's all I have, Phil. Thank you. If there's no other questions.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your efforts. Looking good. So we'll go on to action items. You know, I did not find the June 10th meeting minutes, but I see the August minutes. So I was wondering if we could review those and have a motion to approve those minutes.
I motion to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Does anybody have the 2 minutes? I couldn't find them anywhere.
I know Adi was asking me about those minutes, and I'm wondering if they have not been. Did you ever get them, Adi?
No. No, so Cody was the one that was supposed to do the June minutes.
Okay.
But we never received them.
Okay. All right. We'll just need to let him know that he still needs to put those forward on to us.
But we just approved the May minutes, right?
We approved the August minutes.
The August minutes. Those were... The August minutes were sent out in an email on September 3rd by Ari.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was the August 12th minutes.
Okay.
Good. Then our next action item is the review of the payment agreement. Has everybody received that?
And I will just tell you why that's on the agenda, because you approved it a year ago for 5 years. And as our contractor was having trouble hiring people to work with him because he had budgeted at a certain level, he came to me and asked if he could get an increase to his contract. And I said, well, that was not on the agreement, on the contract that we signed a year ago. And he said, can we do something about it? Because I'm having trouble finding people that would work at the $10 an hour that he was paying them. And he wanted to increase it, but then he wouldn't make any money. So we put it on our website again. We asked for bids. We did an RFP. And again, there was no other provider that submitted a proposal. And so he submitted his. And so that's why we have it on here. The only thing is that there's a little bit of an increase. Let me see. I send it to you. I'm going to see if...
we read it, I think.
Yeah. You read it. Okay. And then the other...
it was just a few $100.
Right. It was minor. But
$300.
Then, yeah. And then there's a little bit of a clause that says that he will get the lesser of two percent increase every year, so that he can keep up with the wages. Or if we decide something else, he would take it. But I think that's 2% is what he's asking every year of an increase.
Is that $300 increase for 12 months?
No, per month. Isn't it per month?
Per month.
Yeah, it's per month.
Yeah, our current monthly fee is $4,600, and he's proposing $4,900.
And that's the bottom line. That was the only increase this year, but the next year would go up 2% every year after then. So,
yeah, I would think that would be wise, because his $10 an hour wage is going to be a $15 wage pretty soon.
How long's the term of the contract?
It's every
4 more years.
We have to bid it out every 5 years, and we can choose to do it earlier, or he can choose to terminate with a month's notice. But every 5 years, we have to bid it out.
So if we want, for whatever reason, we think we can do better either in service or price before the end of 5 years, we've got an escape route to the automatic increase, 2% per year increase.
30 days. We have to give him 30-day notice.
I'm ready to make a motion unless anyone else has any comments.
We'll hear your motion.
Party Banks moves to approve the requested contract amendment or renewal. Go ahead, Juan. I'm done.
No, I was going to say I second it.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good increase. I mean, a pretty good contract for the square footage you have to clean.
Sorry, Leonel, since you are taking the notes, if you could include Becky's votes for both action items that she sent us via email, and she asked me to in the email she asked that one of us vote for her, so I would like to add those if that's okay with everybody.
Thank you, Juan.
What do you think?
Right, our next action item is review and approval of the ESRA 3 grant. We got that attachment. That was a very big contract. So as much as I got through with especially the summary. So, Lil, do you want to go over that with us?
Yeah, certainly. And the summary is kind of the one we need to look at. The other one is a template that we have to complete. And it's kind of passed through funds. So even though it's like they did an RFP and all that kind of stuff, the money is there and we will get it. Of course, if they don't agree with what we're proposing, they would tell us to amend our proposal. And last year, I think they did that once because we asked to buy sound panels for the cafeteria and they didn't allow us to do that. So we had to do it. We had to amend the proposal. We think that everything on here is authorized. And so we feel good that we have a good proposal in hand. And as you can see, there's some expenditures for personnel, and we already have a math interventionist that is actually going to be coming from Mexico City, Janet Christensen. Some of you know Janet, who was on the board for a long time. She helped us or refer the person to us. And he has a master's degree in mathematics, and so he's trying to get a visa to come to be our math interventionist or specialist. And we did hire a literacy specialist already. She's on board. And so most of these things, we believe we can find people to take those jobs that we're hiring for.
Including summer school, too?
Yep, summer school is just an extension of our school year. We go into until the end of June. So the month of June is our summer school. And we hire approximately 14 people to work the month of June. In this next year, we would hire a few more because we have a little bit more money. And so we would, instead of serving 100 students, we would probably serve 150 or 200 for anyone that really wants to come, because some of them don't want to extend the year, some of the kids or the parents.
Right.
And so we would open it up to other kids.
I think that was my biggest concern. Every staff, such a grant, looks pretty comprehensive.
With our new state retirement, we're having a little bit better luck finding some of the people that we were looking for already.
Wow.
Any other questions board members have about the grant? Is money available, and it's Texas through 2023, right?
23, that's correct. Yeah.
So we have a few years. The other question I had was each year we don't have to spend a certain amount, we just have to spend all the money
by 2023. That's correct.
Okay. That's how I understood it. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this grant.
Hey, before anyone makes a motion, just a quick question from Marty. I'm not real familiar with these kinds of grants, and I mean, are there any? It seems like a no-brainer. What are some potential downsides, or is this going to increase any kind of scrutiny or auditing, or any other concerns that we ought to at least think about?
You know, I think it's more work for Red Apple, because the auditors just have another program they can choose to audit. Every year they audit one really, really close. And so this is just one more they have to choose from. But it's fairly inclusive. There's a lot of things that we can do with it. And as long as we don't build things, it's pretty open, and so I don't anticipate there are any. I don't know if Brian has any comments on this, but every school is getting it, every district is getting it, and so I don't know. Brian, do you have any comments?
Just in general, I mean, any grant, you know, whether it's a robust federal program like Title I or a small program that's $3,000 and, you know, is for one TA, you know, whatever the case may be, we treat them all the same in that we take our program accounting seriously, we make a plan for it, make sure the approvals are there, we have all of the expenses in planned to cover it, we monitor it, throughout the year. To make any adjustments as far as budget on that program or on that, you know, in the original budget submitted. And, you know, we if necessary, we stay in pretty close contact with, there's a state representative over that program to make sure that we're not only in compliance, but also that compliance as far as allowable expenditures go. We do that for all of the programs, so I'm not, from an audit perspective, you know, that's really what you would see from an auditor, regardless of the program, is, you know, okay, here are some expenses, is this allowable, and, you know, and then maybe an audit, not so much from the third party, but maybe an audit from the state representatives that are over that program, or they visit the school and talk to a Lopio about it. I mean, all of those are kind of the same in how they're carried out. So as long as we treat each program the same as far as our protocol of everything I just went through, I don't really worry about it. I hope that, I mean, does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah, that is helpful, Brian. Thanks.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention that Brian and I meet in between throughout the month, and we spend, I can tell that we're spending a lot more time on the phone, on Zoom, monitoring the programs than we did even 3 years ago when we didn't have the nutrition program and some of the other CSI programs and ESSER funds and GEARS funds. Brian and I now spend a lot of time going over the programs. When talk on the phone, it's not a 20-minute meeting. Now it's about an hour.
Yeah. And it is additional services too, since we have responsibility for. So I think any federal funds that can expand that seems to be something great that we should participate in.
Yeah, and the rule of thumb is to just expect an audit at some point, and therefore, you know, we don't do anything different whether or not there's going to be an audit or whether there is going to be one. But with, particularly with these federal programs, these new ones, especially around the COVID relief, at some point they're going to take a look at these things, and you can see the differences between ESSER-1 and ESSER-2 and ESSER-3 as far as the robustness of the application, for lack of a better term, the kind of the hoops and the red tape that they're making us go through, as opposed to the first ESSER, where it just kind of, it seemed like the money was dumped on us and there wasn't really anything we had to do. And so now we're seeing more of a process like we're used to seeing, where there's a lot more kind of protocol and the application is a lot more robust, there's deadlines. And so I would expect, I would just expect an audit at some point with one or more of these COVID-related programs.
Okay, that's helpful, Brian. That kind of gives me the sense that it's expected, but not necessarily be feared. We can manage it just fine. Unless anyone else has any concerns or questions, I'm ready to make a motion. Marty Banks moves to approve the application for the ESSER grant as reflected and attached in the attachment to the agenda.
All right. Do I have a second?
I second it.
I lost. Okay, 1 second, Seth. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
It is Becky and I also won. Okay. All right. All right, well, then I guess we can go to our committee discussions. Do we have any items that we...
Sorry, everybody, I actually need to drop off, but have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay. Brian.
Is there anything we need to discuss tonight?
Well, as part of the, I looked at my report about this already, but I wanted to ask how we approved the salary table. I think it was in the last meeting. I would like to hear a report, how things went. We've heard about the retirement system, but I was curious about the salary table.
Awesome. Yes, so I met with each individual teacher and signed a new agreement. It went into effect last pay period, Adi. Is Adi on?
I'm here. Sorry, I was muted. What was that?
You're on mute, but it's okay.
Sorry.
Shaking her head.
Yeah, she shook her head. We knew. So it went into effect last pay period, and I can tell you that there were about five teachers that almost fainted because one of them got a $10,000 raise, another one was a $6,000 raise, and so on. And I can tell you that one of them is like, really? And I said, yeah, the board did it for you. And he said, tell him thank you. And I said, I shall do that. So on behalf of those teachers that got a raise, thank you. And everyone else maintained their rate. They were doing it before. We grandfathered them in, so no one lost any money. And so they were very, very happy. In fact, they gave you a round of applause at one of our faculty meetings. And so thank you.
I suggest you doing that. Okay, good. I didn't know.
Right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Okay. In one of the in one of the board meetings when we were approving or proposing the salary table, we mentioned about doing like the districts do, having it on the website. I haven't really checked if it's already there. Is it already posted?
I don't think it's posted yet. We're going to design a nice little thing so that it's not just a PDF. Crystal, I don't know if you remember Crystal Sanchez that used to work for us, does our website, and she'll be working on that in the next month. We just barely went into effect this last pay period, so
right.
We'll get that on. It'll be on there on the website.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good. Any other?
I don't. There's anything else, but I did mention in passing last board meeting that we probably need a personnel committee so that I could communicate some of the, I now communicate with two board members when there's any issues happening in the school. I don't know if they're okay with just that, Marty and Cody, or if there is a need for a personnel committee that I could communicate with when we have challenges in the school that people are raising, employees or even parents, that we can communicate on a regular basis about what is happening. I mentioned it in the past, the personnel committee would be a good place that they could then bring items to the board if there was anything. There was an issue that I've been communicating with Marty and Cody about a parent that was upset about a home visit. It appears at this point that he is okay with the actions that I've taken. I did not share the actions with him because I cannot, but I did mention to him that I had taken actions to make sure that it wouldn't happen again, the perception that he received at the home visit, and he said, as long as it doesn't happen again, I guess I'm going to be fine with that. I did mention that he could come and talk with you all because he was asking for that, but it appears that right now he's okay.
Hey, Lokio, I know we entertained that idea for some time now about having some kind of a personnel committee or maybe a HR representative or some other kind of liaison, if you will. What's your sort of, if we went the personnel committee route as opposed to maybe a HR representative, what's your notion of who might participate on that committee?
Two people that can respond within 24 hours to things that are happening at the school. If a teacher wants to talk with one of you about an action, that you could respond to them within a day or two. Someone that is just willing to listen and
are you thinking that would necessarily be two board members or some other configuration?
No, I think just a couple of board members. And of course, it would have to be someone that doesn't work at the school and does not have children in school. That would be ideal. And so that's about it. Basically, what I do, the messages I send to you and Cody as the chair and vice chair, and I used to do the same thing with Juan, when he was a chair in Janet. So I always send some of those things that are happening. Sometimes they're good things that are happening too. I send those messages to you, and sometimes I do need a response back when a parent is asking, who do I talk to? Who is your supervisor? You know, I don't mind if they talk to one of you and get a different perspective.
I work with my laptop all day long, and I usually respond very fast because I'm with my laptop, so I wouldn't mind helping in that position. I don't have children at the school, and I have done it in the past.
And the other thing is, we probably will create the committee next time because it's not on the agenda, but I think Juan would be an excellent source, and he has been a sounding board. We used to send the information to him when some things were happening, and so I don't have any, you know, one in particular that I want to be on that board, on that committee. Any of the people that don't have kids in the school could function in that role. So whoever you decide is fine. We'll put it on the agenda next time. Ari, can you make sure that is done? Creation of a personnel committee under action items as well. So we will create two committees next time that we can begin. And you guys, you can decide who you want on there.
Hey, Ari, would you expand that agenda item level to maybe be slightly broader to include discussion not only of a staffing a personnel committee, but a more preliminary question of so we can have a little more discussion on whether we want to go the personnel committee route or alternatively the kind of an HR representative route, or perhaps both, or perhaps neither. I'm not sure, but probably it will be key to have Cody in that conversation as well.
So discuss options as far as if we want HR like versus a personnel representative type, right?
The two options would be personnel committee, alternatively an HR representative, or neither, or both.
Okay.
And one thing I learned today during our virtual meeting was we have 82 employees at the school at this point, so we've grown a lot, and it's something that we ought to really take a little deeper dive in.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Hilo. Yeah, that's good. Those are good points, and sometimes sensitive issues, so we don't want to under-attend to that issue.
Yep. All right. Any other discussions we need to do tonight?
Yes, I'm aware of you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please, Jess, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask about beginning next month, we can invite teachers again to come during the board meetings so that you do we want to do several teachers at once? If so, how many would you prefer? And then beginning next month, we would like to introduce you to the new teachers who joined the faculty this year. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts and input on that.
This is Marty. I had one thought, and I appreciate that others may have a different view, but life is long, and sometimes our board meetings go really long, and I think I would prefer to limit it to one invitee a meeting, and that way, although we're not going to be able to rotate as many through as fast, I think it will be advantageous as long as the teachers generally know that we're getting to know them better, even if not in a hurricane rapid fire manner. And the second observation is that I see this as twofold. One, it gives us a chance to hopefully express some appreciation and gratitude and recognition and validation to our teachers, which is important for them. It also, though, can be, although I don't think it has yet become a real mechanism for them to communicate constructive suggestions to us. And that is when we have to adopt every one of their suggestions. But to date, it's been more of kind of a love fest. You guys are so great. Oh, you guys are so great. And instead of that kind of kissy smoochy kumbaya, we have, if we invite just those teachers to come prepared, also with maybe at least one single concrete or even vague idea that they might pass along for our consideration that could be constructive to the school, I think that that would be helpful.
Okay.
Jesse, how many new teachers do we have this year?
There are four this year, a sixth grade teacher, fifth grade, third grade, and first grade. So they're spread out pretty much across all the spectrum.
But maybe starting out with those four?
Okay. The good thing is that all those teachers, they've been with the school for years anyway. A few of them were hired on as teachers, but before they were teacher assistants or at other positions. So it's pretty cool to see. I think I even had some parent feedback that they really like to see that there those opportunities for those employees to progress their career and become teachers eventually. I think so. You may have seen them around before, maybe not, but we'll start next month. I'll invite one teacher to and also to be able to share what they do in the classroom as far as their reach cultural rest lesson plans. We get to see what they're doing in the classroom, but I'll bring up that they can be prepared to come in with some suggestions or advice or any requests that they have.
And just so you know, putting a grant for $41,000 for Grow Your Own Teachers, and I realized that 17 of the 21 current teachers, we grew them. They came to us without a license, and we helped them get a license. Jesse was one of them that we helped get a license. So 17 of the 21, we've grown those teachers, and we have five teacher assistants that are currently in the process of completing their teacher their licensure. So
I thought you were saying I thought you were going to suggest a grow your own cannabis program.
No cannabis at our school.
Okay,
you're thinking about the wrong type of school. That's
funny. Yeah.
Right one. All right. Well, great. Let's come. Fabulous. So maybe we go into the executive director report now.
Okay. I am going to...
Something very good. I need to go, but I'll see you next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
All right. Thanks, Juan.
Bye-bye.
The report is on already on Google Drive, so...
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Let's see. Can you see it? Can you see my
pop sharing? Oh, there it is.
There we go.
This is the faculty and the staff. We did take a picture together this year, as you will recall. Last year we did not. So we had a couple of them missing. Some of them didn't want to be close to each other, and they said, "I'd rather not be in the picture," and that was okay with us. But we invited everyone to come.
Very nice.
Yeah, let's see.
Good looking group.
Yes.
That's a young group.
They are. And they're getting younger. I see them getting younger.
In the middle.
I think I'm getting older. That's why I think they're getting younger. But absolutely. Right now we have 538. And I just got to tell you about this today because it brought tears to my eyes. And I think Adi was present when one of our students left the school. And he has been with us since kinder. I don't know. I think he looked like third grade. And his mom and the child were both crying when they were leaving because they're moving to Florida. And so the little boy walked past me and I said, "Are you sad?" And he just kept going, just shook his head and kept going really fast past me. And the mom said, he's sad. And Adi came up to me and said, he's just checked out of the school because they're moving to Florida. And it was really sad that the child was crying because he didn't want to leave the school. So now we have probably 537 because I saw this number earlier. Is that 538?
539.
539. We're right now we're replacing the kids because we need to keep us as close to 541, which is the maximum that we can have. But anyway, I just thought that was a good anecdote to share with you.
Thank you.
A very, very full waiting list. When I looked at it earlier, I saw there was only like 80, and I went and looked to see if there were any new ones, and I was shocked because I didn't expect to have another 70 plus or almost 80 kids that have come on the waiting list since the start of school less than a month ago. And so we have 146, and as you can see, we do have siblings of kids. That means that their brothers and sisters are coming to our school and their siblings are not. And so those are waiting to come in. That's why Adi knows the exact number, because she's bringing in some kids to keep the close to 541. I don't know if I sent you. Did I send you an email letting you know that we would have the police in our school? I think I did. I usually do. We did an intruder in the building drill, and we had five police officers that came. And afterwards, they talked to the kids and tell them that the police is their friends. And they talked to the kids and high-fived the kids and had a blast. Our staff also had a good time taking pictures with him in front of the building there. It was all in all was a good drill, good practice, and I think it all went well. Anything you want to add, Jesse or Camila Moreno?
Now, I think even after having not done the drill last year, it was still a smooth transition because a lot of the students from 2 years ago remember the drill. Even though it was a large gap in between, they were still ready for it. So, yeah, I agree with that. It was pretty smooth.
Yeah. Any questions? Our mariachi keeps playing. This is a picture that was taken this last weekend. It was actually on Sunday. They had the Friends of Acoustic Music who invited us, and the kids loved the event because there were hundreds of people there. And this is not a typical event where we play, because usually we go where there's a lot of Latino or Hispanic people. This one was almost 100% non-Latino. They were mostly white people out in a camping place in West Ogden, Fort Buenaventura. It's a camping. Everybody goes camping for a weekend, and they invite a lot of acoustic musicians to come and play for them during the 3 days, and they invited us to come and share our music with them.
What's the organization called, Eloquio?
Friends of Acoustic Music.
Awesome. Wow.
And they have 5,000 members, and about 3,000 are there during the weekend. Not all at once, but throughout the weekend, about 3,000. When we were there, there were over 1,000 people there in the audience.
Wow.
And they were impressed with our kids, especially our drummer. There was a band that was playing after us, and the drummer from that band, it's a professional band, that came up to him and he says, "I'm going to see you on TV in the future. You did an awesome job." So he was very proud of himself. Very extremely hot. It was probably 100 degrees, and they were all wearing their suits, their jackets, and they didn't complain. They're just wonderful kids. We did have lots of water. Every 10 minutes, we would stop the music and give them all water, make sure that they were fine. Everything went very, very smoothly.
And they invited them for November already, again, that same day.
Yes, they loved it so much, they invited them for a an event that they're having for El Día de los Muertos in downtown Ogden. Another great news is that one of our students, former students, will be singing the national anthem at the Real Salt Lake game on the 25th of September. And our kids are going to perform during halftime in the stadium, inside the stadium. That's been one of our goals for 5 or 6 years. And they finally are going to let us sing in front of the entire people at halftime. So we're very, very excited. And it also is very special because Real Salt Lake is going to be playing Los Angeles. And one of the best players from Mexico is their forward. Chicharito Hernandez plays for them. And so he will be in the stadium when our kids play. So this is really exciting.
Hey, do you know if that's a night game or a day game?
It is a Wednesday night game.
That's the September 25th is the other U.S. Okay.
Was that right? No, you know what? I apologize. That's the 29th. Wednesday the 29th. I put the wrong date.
Okay.
Yeah, I just realized that it is on a Wednesday.
A Wednesday evening.
Correct.
What time does usually start?
8:05. It's on, if it's on television, they televise them. That's the starting time. So it'll be a late night.
A lot of sleepy kids.
A lot of sleepy principal. I have to drive home after. Yeah, but anyway, that's going to be really fun for the kids. For Ari Ramirez, who was one of the first kids that joined our mariachi back in 2015. When we started the mariachi in the spring of 2015, she's going to be singing the national anthem. She sang the national anthem at this event last Saturday, too, in West Ogden. So she's got a little bit of practice. She also will be singing the national anthem this Saturday at Monarcas, which is the Monarchs, the soccer team, a different division. So she's getting some good practice.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. And then that's it. That's all I had for this evening. Other than the calendar for the board meetings, I don't have anything else unless there's any question.
I think we just needed to, at our next board meeting, which is October 14th.
That's right.
And I don't know if there's a PTO report at all.
I am going to ask the PTO representative, the liaison, to come, and I forgot, so let me send her an email now before I forget. But yeah, I'll have her come next time to the board meeting to do a report. We probably will put her, Ari, can you find out if she wants to be at the beginning of the agenda or at the end of the agenda when she comes so that she doesn't have to stay the whole time? Thank you. We'll check with her to see what's best for her.
All right. Well, it looks like we can have a motion to adjourn.
That was less than a hour, Phil. You did well. That's Marty's.
I don't mean to push it along.
That's Marty's goal. Marty's goal was always to have it done in an hour or less, so that's good.
So I'm not sure whether I should make a motion to adjourn or make a motion to designate Phil as the official timekeeper of all future board meetings.
No. No, I don't have that skill.
Thank you very much, Phil. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. With that, Marty Banks moves to adjourn the board meeting this evening on September 9th.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.